Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Chad Edelman, and I'm the youth director at Heartland Church in LaPorte City. I'm also a ministerial student. I'm going through online classes from Indiana Wesleyan to become an ordained pastor, and one day I hope to have my own church as awesome as your guys is here. Just a little bit of my story. When I was growing up, I didn't really go to church. My parents didn't really go to church, or their parents. But I was raised with Christian values. We were taught not to judge people. We were taught to show compassion. And I had a good childhood. We just didn't grow up in church. I didn't know who God was. I believed in God, but I didn't know Jesus, and I didn't have a relationship with him. After I graduated, my high school girlfriend and I were married. We had three children together, my oldest three, Allie, Cody, and John. And we tried hard to keep our marriage together, but we ended up getting a divorce. And we didn't have God in our lives, and I wasn't a Christian. All I was doing is trying to do things and fix things on my own, and that doesn't work without Christ. And she moved to LaPorte City, actually. And I stayed in Waterloo, and we had split custody where I would have the kids Thursday through Sunday. And on Sunday morning, I would just drop them off at church, because ever since they were little and old enough to go to church, they went to Wednesday night services. And they're still part of the church at Heartland. My daughter and her husband, Sean, and my little grandson, Caden, they still come to church. My oldest son is a senior this year, and he still works up in the crow's nest where he's been working up there since he was in second or third grade. And my son Cody is actually one of my youth leaders or helpers on Wednesday nights. So they've been going to the church long before I went there. And I think the biggest reason I didn't go to church, I mean, we checked it out a few times and just didn't really connect with the message, with the pastor. That's what I tried to blame it on anyway. But basically what it was my fear, my spirit of fear. I didn't want to change. I didn't want to give up control of my life to Christ. I wanted to hold on to that. So we would just drop him off. And it wasn't until I was about 35 that I actually experienced surrender firsthand. When my ex-wife moved to LaPorte and I stayed in Waterloo, I met my wife, Tammy. We had our youngest daughter, Brianne, and I got really close with her family over the years. And we're just one big family, and it's awesome. And but we heard that her father had just diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. And I got to witness transformation and surrender firsthand through his life. And that fear started to change in me. And faith and fear is what I want to talk about today. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not fear, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Now I think we miss a very important word in that scripture is "be." And the actual definition of the word "be" is to stay in the same place or condition. So what God was saying is, sometimes we're going to face situations, and at first we'll be caught off guard, and we might be afraid for a second. But he's saying, don't be afraid. Don't stay afraid. Don't stay in that situation. But the situation, the life, and the perspective he wants us to stay in is to be strong and to be courageous. Because we know, when we know that Jesus is with us all the time, we can have that. We can have that. And there's two types of fear. There's a spirit of fear caused by the enemy, Satan. Those are the fears, I'm not good enough. I don't have enough time to get stuff done. I need to make more money. I need to get better things. I need a new house. I need a new TV. I got to get stuff better than my neighbor. I mean, it's the things that constantly distract us and keep us from God. They're the lies, but they don't have power over us. If we've accepted Christ, Satan's lies don't have power over us because we have the truth inside of us. And the spirit of fear is not from God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power and of love and of good mind." So that fear does not come from God. But when we recognize the second kind of fear, a fear of who God is, his reverence, his power, and just how much he loves us, his unconditional love that Jesus showed us on the cross. That kind of fear comes from a heart of thanksgiving, gratefulness, receiving something we didn't deserve and can't earn, a feeling of adoration towards someone who helped or saved you. It's no different really than a child looking up to a father or a mother. When we tell them, don't play in the street, get off the garage, don't run with scissors. I mean, all the things that we tell our kids, we're not doing it to punish them, even though from their perspective, it looks like, oh, they're taking all the fun stuff away. But we're doing it because we love them and we want to protect them. And it's the same way with God, with his children. He just wants to protect and love us. So his commandments and his laws aren't to hurt us, they're to help us. And I think most of our fear comes from the difference of sight versus vision. Now, sight is more, we see things that are right in front of us, the physical things, the things we worry about, like how long we're going to live, when we're going to die, how are we going to die, are my children safe, am I going to lose my job? I mean, the stuff that's all around us all the time. And a good illustration of sight is this rope. Now, imagine this rope represents your life, your eternal life. And it just goes on forever. Obviously, it ends at the wall over there. But just imagine it goes on forever like our lives do eternally. And this is for each of us. It's the same. But on this earth, we have maybe 80, 100 years at best. So in your life, this would represent your time on earth. And this is what we're worried about. What I'm going to do today. How much more money can I make next month? Oh, I'm really going to try and save so I can have fun right here and really do things. All of our fear based on sight is just this little bit. But what about all this? If we can switch from the sight to vision, to know that we're promised eternity when we accepted Christ and the Spirit inside of us, and we know that we have this already, then it'll take that fear away. It's the difference between fear and surrender. The spirit of fear and the spirit of faith. I'd like to start out today in Mark 4:35-41. There's a couple good examples in here of the disciples as they went through this kind of same thing. The same kind of fear. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitudes, they took him along in the boat. And he was as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now the disciples were out in this boat. Waves are pounding, it's raining, the wind's blowing, and Jesus was taking a nap up front. And it says he was sleeping. But I think it was kind of asleep. Maybe you guys know about this, my daughter and son-in-law here. When you're up at night and you have a newborn baby and the monitor starts to make little noises and they're waking up, and you kind of pretend like you're sleeping to see if your wife or your husband will get up. I think that's maybe the kind of sleeping that Jesus was doing. I think he understood what was going on. He was testing the disciples to see if they trusted him during the storm, or if they feared him more than the storm and trusted in him, or if their fear was. Because the disciples at first were filled with fear because of the storm, but then they were filled with fear because of what Jesus had done. The fear was not produced by the storm, but by the calm. The sudden storm and the sudden stillness caused a brain overload for them. They were in fearful awe. Who is this? Who is this man that can calm the seas by speaking to him and just calm the wind, calm the seas, and it just stops? So they were more afraid of Jesus than they were of the storm that they were initially afraid of. And that's the beginning of seeing the difference between a spirit of fear and a spirit of faith, between sight and vision. Now going back to my father-in-law, Roby. Growing up, he kind of believed in God like I did. He didn't have a relationship with Jesus. He didn't know Jesus. And just had that basic faith that there was a God. But there was a time after he realized and he was diagnosed with ALS, he recognized Jesus in the storm. And he completely surrendered his life over to him. Now, during that time, we were still in Iowa. I should make that clear that my mother-in-law over here and my wife's family live in Arkansas. So in the time between we found out, we got the phone call that said that, yes, it is. It is Lou Gehrig's disease. It is ALS. And going down to Arkansas is when Roby had found this piece, is when he had surrendered his life. And I was in a storm. The rest of our family was in a storm. And I didn't know how I was going to deal with it. I didn't know how I was going to be there for my wife, for my family. And I just imagined Roby was going through this huge storm of fear and anger, and maybe angry at God, and frustration. And that's what I thought we were going to walk into. He would just be a volcano of emotions. But when we arrived, he wasn't panicking at all. He was actually calm. He had an unexplainable peace that I had never seen before, especially in somebody that was facing this terrible disease that actually just shuts down the muscles in your body till you're paralyzed physically. And I figured he would be paralyzed in that way, spiritually and emotionally, when we got there. But he wasn't. He showed me something that I had never seen before. He knew what the spirit of faith was about, and he had made the switch from fear to faith. But I wasn't there yet, and like the disciples, I wrestled between the two. In this next scripture, we're going to go back out on the lake with Jesus. Matthew 14, 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side. I'm going to stop there for a second because I think it's kind of funny that Jesus made them get in the boat. Because the last time they were in a boat with Jesus, there was a huge storm and he was taking a nap. So I'm thinking, they were like, well, Jesus, maybe we'll just walk along the shore and meet you on the other side this time. Because last time, it was a little scary out there. But when Jesus tells you to get in the boat, you know, you get in the boat. So they went out. And Jesus went up to the mountain by himself and prayed. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out onto the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down off the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he began to be afraid. He began to sink, and he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now this time the disciples were afraid, but understandably. They're out there. It says they're rowing till the fourth part of the day, which is in the morning. So they have been rowing against the waves that are pushing against the boat and the wind for like 8 or 9 hours since Jesus sent him out there. And he's up on the hill praying. Now he could see him. And I'm sure he would have stepped in at any time. But they're out there. They're rowing. They're exhausted. They've been out there forever. And Jesus just walks up on the water. I don't know about you, but that would probably freak me out a little bit too. Even if I wasn't tired, even if it was the middle of the day and I was out there bass fishing, Jesus came up and said, "What's up?" I probably freaked out a little bit too. But so that one I can understand for a little bit. But the part of it is that I want to focus on is that they were out there fighting, struggling against something out of their control. The same thing, this rowing and rowing. And I've used one of those row machines for 20 or 30 minutes, and my arms felt like they were going to fall off. And these guys were out there for 9 hours rowing. And how many times we struggle with things in our own life we try to do on our own, that we just keep rowing. We keep rowing. We keep doing the same thing over and over and over, not calling out for Jesus. Because I believe if they would have called out for Jesus at any point, or if they just would have let go and stopped rowing, saying, "We can't do this anymore," he would have came out. He would have saved them. But just like in our own life, we try to do things on our own. We don't call out for Jesus. We just continue doing the same thing. Now Peter, he starts to break free from the spirit of fear, and he steps out in a spirit of faith. His faith is to trust Jesus, and it outweighs his fear of death and drowning by asking him, "Lord, if it is you, call me out of the boat, and I will step out, and I will walk out to you." So he did. But as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. That spirit of fear crept back in. And Jesus had to take him back to the boat. But immediately, Jesus reached down and grabbed him when he asked to be saved. And it's the same in anybody's life. If you're struggling, and if you ask Jesus to save you, it's immediately he reaches down and saves you. It's not a process to be saved if you reach out. From there, it is a process. Faith is a process. Once you're saved, getting to surrender is a process. But it's one we have to keep striving for. Then all the disciples began to see. In verse 32, it shows, once again Jesus called the wind and the waves. And this time they didn't ask, "Who is this man?" They can calm the wind and the waves. It said that they were on board, and when they got back, they worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." And Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Andy Stanley, a pastor that I follow, describes it this way: wisdom begins when we recognize who Jesus is and respond accordingly. The proper response, of course, is surrender. Once we have surrendered, God is more than happy to reveal more and more of himself. So surrender is letting go through a spirit of faith. Now in my life, I was able to witness surrender. I was able to witness surrender in Roby. He had wisdom and he understood something that I didn't. The wisdom was given to him through the power of the Holy Spirit that transformed him from the inside out. And his fear didn't come from the temporary world anymore. He was no longer controlled by that spirit of fear. See, he had moved on. He wasn't just looking at this. He could see all of this. And he knew that he had all of this. A lot of us think we don't get this until we die. But if we accept Jesus and we surrender our hearts and our lives to him, we can have the spirit of heaven in us, the spirit of Jesus in us, using us now. We don't have to wait. It's available now, and it's a free gift. It's offered to all of us. Now, witnessing this in Roby was the beginning of my understanding of God and who Jesus was. And I actually accepted Jesus in my life at that time, about 6 years ago. And I was baptized in a creek behind their house in Arkansas. But the spirit of fear was still there. It's not like it's a one-time deal and you just all of a sudden, you're not afraid anymore. This was just my first step of accepting Christ. I still had to make it to surrender. And although Peter sunk when he started seeing the things around him and had that spirit of fear, it's still the perfect picture of what surrender looks like. To step out of a boat. To step out of the things we're comfortable with. To step out of where we are into something new. But I think that spirit of fear keeps Christians from talking about Jesus. It keeps us from inviting people to church. Yeah, it keeps us from spreading the gospel in the world. Stepping out of that boat means accepting forgiveness in our life and knowing that we have it. Jesus didn't forget to forgive us for something on the cross. But even after we accept Jesus' forgiveness, a lot of times we go back and we're still bothered by things we did. We're bothered by things that were left undone or people that we'd hurt. But we can still ask for forgiveness and forgive people. But we have to believe that we're eternally forgiven if we want to have that surrender to Jesus. He said it's finished on the cross. He didn't forget to forgive you for anything. And it's past, present, and future. So you can live in that freedom, in that spirit of freedom. Roby showed me this. And he wasn't afraid to talk about Jesus with others. Forgive people, ask for forgiveness. He had Bible studies in his house. And he was freely talking about Jesus, this guy that I had known up to this point who had never talked about the Bible, never talked about the gospel, never talked about Jesus. He was having Bible studies in his home. He was telling us about Jesus. He wrote out a blessing, and they got water from the Jordan River, and he blessed his children, their spouses, and his grandchildren. I mean, it was something like I'd never seen before, but I wanted what he had. I wanted to get to where he was. I also think we miss an important message back in Matthew 4, verse 36, where it says, leaving the crowds behind, they took him along just as he was. There were also other boats with him. See, there were other boats with him. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that when you read that verse. Sometimes we skip over it because it's an exciting story. But there were other boats with the disciples when they went out onto the sea, into the storm. But when Jesus put that comfort and that peace into the disciples, it spread to the other boats. When he stopped the wind and he stopped the waves and he had that calm, the other people in the boats in the storm had that calm too. And that's how it was with Roby for us. His family was in the storm with him. But his surrender and the spirit of faith that he had, it didn't only calm him, but it calmed the ones around him. His wife, his daughter, his sons, his son-in-law, his grandchildren, and many, if not all, of those people have accepted Christ. And now they're witnesses for Jesus. And that's the power of surrender. It changes lives. Not just yours, but the ones around you. And Roby's peace lasted all the way up until the end when we were at the lake house. And he peacefully went home to be with Jesus forever, which is awesome. But we were surrounded his bed and we all said the Lord's Prayer together. But after he had passed and we came back to Iowa, I was still fighting. That spirit of fear and the spirit of faith. I used to go to the bar just about every weekend, if not every other weekend, me and my buddy did karaoke there, but it was more just for free beer than it was about money. And when I got back home, I knew that's not what I was supposed to be doing. I knew I was supposed to be the spiritual leader of my home. I knew I was supposed to be setting an example for my kids, but that fear crept back in and not wanting to change or upset my friends or tell them that I followed Jesus, and I started going back. I still wasn't going to church. I wanted to change, but I wasn't willing to leave my comfort zone. It was almost a year after I accepted Christ that the kids were still going to church this whole time at Heartland. Came and told me that there was a new pastor, some cool guy in his 30s that had tattoos, and he wasn't like a normal pastor. And you should come and listen to him. So I was like, okay. So we did. And then we started going every week, and I fought through the spirit of fear. I still didn't want to give control of my life to God. I wanted to have that control and keep it. I was still afraid what people would say. And drinking was a way for me to calm down if I was having a bad week or a bad day. And I also have pretty severe ADD that I've had my whole life. So drinking was my way of self-medicating to do that. And I didn't know how to get rid of it. Most of all, I wanted to be a spiritual leader in my home. I wanted to be a better husband, a better father, a better example for my children. And one day, while Nathan was preaching, when it seemed like he was preaching just at me about all the bad stuff I did, but it was just a normal message, but it was God through his spirit talking to me that day in church. And I got a glimpse of what Roby had been seeing that whole time. You see, I could actually see Jesus on the cross. And we've all seen it thousands of times. But from the time he got arrested, I could see him being beaten and kicked and whipped and spit on, made to carry that cross up a hill, mocked. And once he got to the top of the hill, exhausted and bloody and beaten beyond all recognition, they nailed him to it. And then they raised it up and it slammed into the ground. And he hung on there and died. He died on my cross. Because that's the punishment I deserved. And he took it from me. I didn't deserve what he did for me. I didn't earn what he did for me. But he did it freely. And he offered it freely to me. And that's the day that I accepted. Truly accepted Jesus, and I gave my life as a living sacrifice to him, and I asked him to use me. Because I could see, like in the example, this life is so short. But it's also every second we have an opportunity to impact another life, to impact another family. We don't have to worry about what happens after we die. We need to worry about what we're doing while we're here. So after I ask God to use me, be careful with that phrase. He 5 years ago, I started on the praise team. And then I started with the third and fourth grade boys ministry on family night, just as a helper. But then I bumped up to the youth group 3 years ago. And then 2 years ago, I was made the youth director, and we started out in youth. We had about 15 or 20 kids, and 2 weeks ago, we had 38 kids in our youth group. I started our men's group back up. And got that built up, and then I handed it off to another friend at church. And actually, this coming Wednesday, we have 12 of those 38 kids that are being baptized in a worship and baptism service at Harland. So it's pretty awesome. And it has nothing to do with me. It's not Chad. It's not nothing I did, any of those things. It's all God. It's just because I allowed him to use me. I realized that I didn't deserve what he gave me. You have to have a grateful heart all the time for what Jesus has done for you. And if you do, and if you can empty yourself of yourself, and you'll be filled with his Spirit. And it's God that does everything. With those kids, with our youth group growing, with everything that's going on in my life. And then I felt after 3 years, I call to ministry. Actually, it was after two. And I came to my wife and I said, hey, I think after working at John Deere for 12 years, I want to leave and do full-time ministry. I just feel this call from God. And he won't leave me alone about it. It's all I can think about. It's my passion. It's my heart. It's what I want to do with my life. And it took a little bit because I caught her off guard, kind of like Jesus on the water for a second, I guess. But then we prayed about it. And then we realized that it was what God was calling us in our life to do. So I did. I stepped out of my boat and I left a great job at John Deere. I actually work at a hardware store now in La Porte City part-time. Well, I'm doing online classes through Indiana Wesleyan and all my work at the church. And I don't have any regrets. So many amazing things have happened. But it's just, Roby's life was a witness to me that a surrendered life can truly change people. And I hope that my life in some way is a witness to you that it's for anybody. If he can change a guy like me, then we all got a shot. But surrender is not a one-time event. It's a daily choice. We have to make that first step out of the boat, but every morning we have to re-surrender our lives to God. That's why Jesus says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. It's not a one-time thing, because Satan's not going to stop attacking with that spirit of fear. We just have to realize that he's a liar and that he has no power over us, because we are children of God. We have the spirit of the one who defeated him living inside of us. So once you know that, his lies really don't have any power. And the only power his lies do have is the power that we give them. And it's something that we have to know. We have to know that we're adopted by God. We have to know the kingdom of heaven is our eternal home. This life, this world, we're just walking through it. We need to stop holding on to our fear. Let go of our plan and trust God's plan is better. It's not easy stepping out of the boat. But I guarantee if you do it, you'll never look back. You'll wish you did it sooner. We need to reach outside the walls of our churches. We get too comfortable. We accept Christ and we read the Bible and we do Bible studies, but what are we doing in the world? What are we doing in our own communities? What are we doing at work? Are we inviting people to church? Do we have that? Has that fear been taken from us? Are we still living in that spirit of fear? Christians shouldn't have fear. We know where we're going. We should be out in the world telling everybody about Jesus until the day that we go home to see him. I pray as Christians we can all live as God has commanded us to. In Joshua 1:9, to be strong. Let that be our identity. Let that be who we are. Be strong all the time. Be courageous all the time. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And why? Because the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. Let's pray.